Hey everyone, welcome to the Kink Podcast. This has nothing to do with the Kink TV show. It's just, I just called it that because I'm Andy Nolch, the host of the Kink TV show, and this was like, okay, I'll just call this the Kink Podcast. It's really informal, like, it's just whatever, not professional and not interesting, and I don't think anyone listens to it. It's just me talking whatever for an hour. It's been an hour, over an hour every time. But for a while I've been trying for it to be half an hour, but somehow it goes into an hour. So here we go. This one might be half an hour or an hour, but if I get to around the 42-minute mark and I still feel like talking, then I just go, well, I have to do an hour now, and then I take it up to the hour. This is episode 15, I think, and the first six episodes of this podcast were really great, so I recommend going back and listening to them. They were highly charged, and I was pretty emotional, and they were really good political out-there information about things like global warming and guns and all that sort of stuff. So after I voiced my opinions on those sort of things, it was just like kind of ran out of things to talk about, and I didn't care about those issues as much anymore. So yeah, it's just interesting how if you just talk about something and it gets rid of your emotion about it, which is kind of interesting. I know that by me talking about something like how global warming could be a con job and just not happening and just bullshit, by me just talking about it, it's like I feel good because I'm doing something about it. So like maybe after the podcast, I got it all off my chest, and then at least I did something, and then I kind of feel better about it. And yeah, but I just don't really care about that issue as much anymore. Also, I think because, a lot of people are finding out the truth about what's going on. So I'm seeing other people who are helping in the fight, so I don't have to work as hard. But even still, I don't know, it's really interesting. It's just like you just talk about something and you don't care anymore. It's amazing. The first five podcasts, I was like ranting and just like angry and emotional about certain things. And it's just like after I've gotten off my chest, it's just like whatever, you know. It's really interesting. It's like why I get angry about it. It's just like, yeah, that's the, you know. Like if the media has some story saying global warming's happening, I go, well, this story could be a complete piece of propaganda. I mean, it could be true. There is an element of it that could be true. Or most likely it's just a complete piece of propaganda, and I don't get upset about it. I'm just like, yeah, it's just a piece of propaganda and it's just bullshit. But I guess if they actually passed some sort of tax and I actually had to pay it, I would just do everything possible to avoid paying it. Only until it really impacts on me would I then get angry again. But it's just amazing the effect of talking about something that gets you no longer upset about it. And that's, I guess, why people go to psychologists or whatever when they've got problems, because they sit there and then they just talk about them and they feel better about it. So it's not necessarily what the advice that the psychologist gives about the problem or anything. It's just, it's really interesting. It's just talking about the problem that can get rid of the problem. It's just so interesting. What the hell's the deal with that? It's like maybe every day you stub your toe on like some chair leg by mistake, and you're like, ah, and you get angry, and you're like, ah, my toe, and the next day you do it again, ah, my toe, I keep on forgetting, ah, my toe. And then one time you just talk to someone about it, and you go, yeah, every day I stub my foot on a toe, and it gets me really angry, and it makes my foot feel like this, and blah, 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 and I really hate it. Then the next day he stubs his toe as per usual. And then it's just like, ouch. And then just doesn't get angry about it or anything. It's just bizarre. This world is really bizarre. It doesn't make any sense at all. The only thing you can sort of know is that it's totally unpredictable. Like that you can know. But, so that's kind of good because you just know anything's possible. But, It's just, that is pretty bizarre how just talking about a problem can can make it just really interesting. Like really talking about it, because I'd spoken about things like global warming and the gun and control issue and that, but hadn't really dived into it for a whole hour and saying all the points and all the reasons why. I think maybe because every time someone said something that was wrong or potentially wrong, I would think in my head the arguments about how global warming is bullshit, and then I might say one or two of them, and then I'd always have emotion stored up because I'd always have that desire to say more about it, but I wouldn't because I, you know, was just on Facebook and I'm in a hurry or something like that. But in the podcast, I got to sit down and lay down the full reasons why. And so get rid of that desire to talk about it. But let me guess, hold on. But if you pick a topic and talk about it for a whole hour, I think what it does is it not really just gets rid of your anger of it. It makes you bored of it. I think that's what it is. Because it's like you get excited or you get pissed off about global warming and you go, well, look what they're doing and blah, 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 and you say a few comments. But if you actually sit down in a room and just lay it down in a podcast and you fully say all the reasons why, you go into it for so long, you just get it to a point where you're just like, I'm bored of this issue, you know what I mean? I guess it's like watching a movie that you like and watching it so many times you get bored of the movie and you're just like, yeah, I don't care about this movie anymore. It doesn't emotionally impact you anymore. Like I imagine you watch like maybe Lord of the Rings or something for the first time and when they're fighting and stuff and you like get into it and you're like, yeah, the action of it and you get excited. And then if you watch it like 10 times, after the 10th time, you're just like, yeah, whatever. I don't feel emotionally affected by this. So laying down and saying stuff like global warming and the gun control issue and laying down all emotions about it and talking about it for ages, I get to a point. And actually, this is what happened. This is working it out now. This is why I don't no longer care about it. Because you do literally get to the point where you're just like, you know what, whatever, I don't care about this issue anymore. And I remember actually doing the podcast and feeling this emotion I'm feeling now where you get towards the end of it and you're just like, whatever, you know, I've just laid it all down. I'm completely bored of this issue. That's what it was. I remember about four podcasts in, after it was about four podcasts, and on the fourth one, I just had said so much by that stage. I remember saying something like, you know what, I just don't care about these things anymore. Just whatever, you know, you actually get completely bored of them. And so that's what happened. That's why I don't talk about them anymore. That's my cup of jasmine tea. So that's just so interesting. It's the same. It's really interesting. Yeah. If there's anything that excites you, any sort of song or anything that interests you, if you just spend a lot of time on it, eventually get to the point where you're bored of it. Except the only exception is, I think, when there are things like drugs or maybe gambling, things where you get addicted to them, and actually the more you do them, actually the more you want them. Like, but there's not many things that are like that. If you compare how many things there are in the world, which there's a lot of different things, there's not many things that are actually addictive, but the things that are addictive are really big. You know, like junk food and drugs and cigarettes and that sort of stuff. It seems like, yeah, there's all these things you get addicted to, but they're really not. They're just really popular, those things, but there are heaps of things that you aren't addictive, like indoor pot plants. Are they addictive? I'm looking at indoor pot plant right now. Actually, they're pretty cool. I reckon a lot of houses should have indoor pot plants in them. It's just cool. Anyway, so that's just so interesting. So you just talk about it. So whenever you get these hippies that, like, they need to start up their own podcast. So these people who always post things on the internet saying, like, help the refugees, which I'm cool with. Okay, I'm not going to – I already did a podcast on that. I'm not going to dive into it. If you want to hear about it, then check back on one of the podcasts where I talk about refugees. So these people you see on Facebook that always make posts about those sort of things, like, oh, help the refugees and some stuff, they got emotional on those things, those topics, and they need to get bored of them, pretty much. So they need to have a serious conversation with someone about refugees for a long amount of time, and then they'll probably stop posting stuff on Facebook, so they'll just be like, I'm over this topic, I just don't care about it, whatever. I kind of got to a point where I saw how people were. This is only a few months ago, I'm thinking like 3 months ago. I got to the point where I kind of like was like, the information's there, I've said it, the information is from other sources, and if the world doesn't want help, if people don't want to learn about these things, if they just want to be a slave and let the government tax them for global warming and have to work to pay this tax and live a ridiculous existence, then fine, go ahead, and, you know, get effed. I'm not going to help you. You know what I mean? I kind of got to the point where I was like, I'm smart, I'm strong, I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to get sucked into the concentration camps. Just as a metaphor, I'm going to get sucked into concentration camps, and you guys are just willingly walking yourself into concentration camps. So you know what? I've done all I can do, and you know what? If you want to do that, then fine, just go and do it. You know what I mean? I kind of was just like a bit like, you know, F you, society. I'm just going to do my own thing, and I'm not going to do any extra effort to help idiots, pretty much. And so, yeah, that's part of, yeah, I kind of got bored of those issues, of talking about them. And then also at the same time, the same thing came up where it was just like, yeah, whatever, you know, if, because you know what it is? It's like, you know, I've been into it for a few years, the global warming, finding out about the global warming being a scam. And then, and I've said a lot of information about it. And then, you know, I got bored of it by speaking about it in the podcast. And then it's just like, you know, well, if you guys aren't going to research it, then you can, whatever, I give up. It's kind of like I just got to that point where I was just like, you know what, you guys just don't want to know about this sort of stuff. You're just happy being slaves, you know. And if it weren't for good people like me working, I don't know, in politics or other things, you know, they would have passed these ridiculous carbon taxes, and it would have stuffed up our economy, and it wouldn't have stopped our economy, it just would have made it shitter. You know what I mean? Like, people don't understand how good our economy could be if there wasn't people in the world screwing it up. You could only have to work like 3 days a week, and you'd have a great house, great products in your house to buy. You could spend plenty of time working on music or just going to the movies and just like having a great existence. And but instead we have to work a fair few hours and things aren't as good as they should be and stuff like that. So it's kind of just like, yeah, just people just choose their own lot, and they just anyway. So, sorry for pausing in that. So, yeah, that's kind of cool to just be like, because I was actually thinking before I started this podcast, I was like, because there's my sister sleeping upstairs, and I was like, oh, you know, if I start ranting, I'll wake her up. But it's just like, I was just like, I'm not going to be ranting. What do I care about? You know what I mean? I literally feel chilled in all elements. You know what I mean? Like, I just, there's nothing I'll raise my voice about. But if this was when I was starting out the podcast, I'd start talking about things like global warming. I'd start, like, exploding, and I'd be like, can you believe they're doing this, and blah, 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 and all my emotions and stuff. And, you know, now it's not like that. It's just like, I'm just not upset about it anymore. Yeah, sometimes you need to just yell things out, like, or punch a wall in and stuff, and then after it, you just get over it, and you're just like, whatever. It's a good therapy to do. I'd call it talk therapy. So you can just start a podcast or just talk to a wall or talk to someone. But you need to set aside like a whole hour on something and go into it. And then you feel better about it. Because there's different types of therapy. You can do like meditation, do like probably brain exercises or some shit. do some religion and that, and then you can do talk therapy, you know, different things you can do to get your mind healthy, you know, because your mind is just like your body, you got to get your, and they're sort of connected. If your body's not going good, your mind won't go good. Your mind's not going good, your body won't go as good. When I say mind, I mean emotions as well. They're sort of the same sort of thing. It's just like not the stuff you can't see, you know what I mean? It's like stress would be an example of mind therapy or whatever. Talking therapy should help with stress. There are some types of people, which is really funny, that that do a lot of talking therapy, but, they're so retarded. They just talk and talk and talk, and then they just talk and talk and talk, and they just, they don't benefit from the talking therapy. Like, they're usually, I don't know. Yeah, it's just weird. There's some people who can, I think they, yeah, it's weird. Some people are just really weird. But just imagine there's some people who just, they talk too much, and it's just like, hey, you need to actually get up and do something with your life. Like, they'll have problems in their life and stuff, and they'll go, I bet your psychologists come across this all the time. Like, they have idiot patients who come in and complain about all their problems and then do nothing to solve their problems, and then they come back again in a week's time all upset and just complain about their problems. Then they go off, and they come back again a week later and just complain about their problems and do nothing to solve them. That's different, see? That's just a waste of time. You have to combine talking therapy with actually doing something. You know what I mean? Like, you can just keep on talking about things being problematic in your business or relationship or whatever, and if you're not doing anything about solving those problems, then why the hell are you talking about them? You sort of talk about them to work out solutions and also just to get rid of the whole negative emotion and get bored of it, the topic. But some people, they'll come into doing talking therapy or whatever, and they'll just be talking as an excuse for not doing what they need to do in their life. You know? I think there's a level before doing talking therapy or before just talking to a podcast randomly. And a level before that is get your shit sorted out, you idiot. That's what it is. Not everyone's like this, but some people are just idiots. Like, they just make bad decisions when it comes to things. Like, they're just not smart and they cause all these problems for themselves. And then they want to go and talk about it. And then they just talk about it and they complain a lot. And the more things get worse, the more they feel bad and want to complain. When it's just like, what needs to happen is they need to just pull their finger out of their ass and actually start doing something. Like, for example, they'll have a problem with money, and then they'll just go and buy a fancy car, and then they'll just talk and complain about how they've got problems with money and blah, 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 when it's just like, no, you need to stop, sit down with a freaking pen and paper and write down how you're going to fucking solve this problem, you idiot. Actually sit down and write out, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell my expensive fancy car that I shouldn't have bought because I'm a moron. Sell it. I'm gonna change the way I'm running my business so it's better, so I don't have money problems, blah, blah, blah. I'm gonna buy this because this will help me in my business. Actually, you know what I mean? Actually do something to help your business. But some people literally is they don't do it. And then they might sit down and work out a few things to help their business and they do them. And then 2 months later they go and take on some ridiculous job that just causes them all their problems. And it's just like, mate, hold on. Couldn't you see that taking on that job would cause all these problems? And it's just like, no, like, some people cannot see into the future. They don't have that ability. And apparently that's what makes someone sane. And I went over this in other podcasts, I think. A sane person can look into the future. You know what I mean? The same person can see, oh, I shouldn't buy that car because they'll screw me up in the future. A sane person can go, I'm not going to take on that job because that'll stuff me up in the future. But someone who's not sane will do things that screw themselves up for the future. They can't think in futures, you know? And that's why you see sane people as winners and successful, because they plan for the future. They plan for long term. And insane people are just total losers and got all these problems because they can't plan anything for the future. A simple example would be an insane person would open up their wallet and blow their pay from work in one night and then go, oh my God, and have all these problems the next day because I have no money. Or next month, just have all these problems the next month. The same person would open up their wallet and go, well, I'll spend this much and I'll keep this rest for the rest of the month. They can actually plan things out. Some people can't do that. They're insane. They literally are insane. They're crazy. And the reason why you might go, that doesn't make the person insane, it just makes the person bad at planning. Well, I bet you if you look into those people's lives, and I have, you'll find instances where there's a chair in front of them and they'll say it's a boat. Now, like, that's just an example, but it won't be as obvious as that, okay? It will be more like they'll see a movie and tell you what the movie is like, and then you go and see the movie and you're like, the movie was not like that. You know? Not as obvious as a boat example, but it's pretty much the same thing. It's just like, it's abstract things, like not things you can really touch. And so it's like they'll see a politician, for example, and they'll go, and this politician's good, like Donald Trump, for example. And they'll say, well, he's a blah, 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 blah. And that's just totally not true. And it's just like, are you seeing the same person that I'm seeing? Like, are you seeing a brick? Because I'm seeing a brick, but you seem like you see a boat, not a brick in front of you. They don't see what's in front of them. It's bizarre. It's literally insane. And these people, right, that's why when they might not be in a psych ward, but they can end up in a psych ward if they get worse. And they can get worse, and then they literally do see pink elephants and then hear voices. It's just a gradient. They get worse and worse. But the first start of it is seeing Donald Trump and saying bad stuff about him when there's no evidence for that. It's just twisting what's actually there. That's not really what's there. You're not seeing what's really there. And then it gets worse, and they eventually hit, as they go more and more crazy and live crazy lives, they end up seeing pink elephants and hearing voices. And it's just a gradient. If you're crazy enough to say that sort of thing about Donald Trump, then you're crazy enough to hear voices and see elephants. That's enough of a line in the sand. You're insane. Bam, that's it. You're insane. It's really interesting how people are. Like, it's not the majority of the population. It's just like some people in this population are really interesting. It's just like they're fried. They're just fried. Their minds are fried. They're just not seeing what's in front of them. So those sort of people who are fried, psychiatrists would... They're the people who a lot of the time, they're most likely the people who go to psychiatrist, and then the psychiatrist is thinking in their head, probably this guy's fried, you know, this guy's retarded. Like an example would be like some girl would get beaten up by a boyfriend or whatever, and then go to psychiatrist and complain about it, and then the psychiatrist would be thinking, man, you seem to just run away from this guy. Like, why are you keeping going back to this guy? You're just crazy. And then you're like, oh, I can't help it and stuff. No. And so it's really interesting because they're not in charge. This is another thing I noticed about insane people. Sorry, I think insane people interest me a lot because they can really cause problems for you in your life, and they are causing a lot of problems for us, and people can't even see what the problems they're causing. I'm telling you, if they weren't around, we'd all be living in awesome mansions, living awesome lives. It would be like heaven on earth if they weren't around. I'm serious. It would be almost like heaven on earth if these people weren't on sharing the earth with us. But they're sharing the earth with us, and they're causing problems. So, oh, I sort of forgot what I was saying. God. Something about these insane people and what they see. Oh, well, this is just, I'm just going to sip my tea and try and remember. Oh, I was onto something, now it's just completely gone. This is just annoying. Yeah, they're not in control of their behaviour. That's what I was saying. They're not in control of their behaviour. It's really interesting. It's really interesting. That's a phenomenon I've noticed in studying these insane people. Yeah, because I've just found them really interesting to look into. And also, their behaviour is jaw-dropping. It's just like, what the fuck? These psychotic fucking insane criminals now. It's just like, what the hell? And there's like a lot of them that are just like mildly crazy that are living amongst us. And everyone's probably friends with at least one person who's like that. And it's just like, what the hell? It's just so interesting, the behaviour. So anyway, so I looked into them a fair bit. Mate, the most important thing is so that you know how to spot them, so you just know to completely avoid them. That's the most important thing. You've got to avoid them as much as you can, because you don't want to get involved in anything. You don't want to go on a road trip with them. You don't need to stay to cause problems. You don't want to hire them for work or anything. So I noticed that they don't seem to even be in charge of their own behaviour. Like, it's like their emotions are in charge of them. Yeah, like they're not even in charge of their own behaviour. It's really interesting. I just got to be careful with what I say, but I remember one of them, long story, right? But one of them slapped me, for example, once. And then instantly said, oh, sorry, I didn't even realise I did that, sorry. Like, and he was actually surprised that he hit me. And it's like, he was not in charge, and he even admitted it just then. He was like, he wasn't in charge of his own body, like he's not in control of his own limbs. That's what I'm talking about, where they're not even in control of. That's why, like, you get these girls that have in abusive relationships or whatever, and they keep on going back to the same guy. It's the same thing. They're not in charge of their own body. They're like, oh, I just had to go back with him. And it's just like they're zombies or something. And it's just like, they're insane. So they don't see what's in front of them. They're not even in charge of their own bodies. They're not even there. They just don't even seem to be there. You ever spoken to like an insane person or something? And like, you kind of like, is this person even like some homeless bum? You're like, is that hello? You ever got your attention? Like, are you even there? Like, not even there, you know? Really interesting. They're really bizarre. So yeah, you've got it. There's a whole trait. There's a whole book I could write of the traits of how to pick these sort of people and stuff, and you just. It's so important. You just got to avoid them. And then there are just some people who are just dumb. So this is the order of people: the full-blown insane evil people, which is like a small percentage, but some of them are in prisons and some of them aren't and haven't been caught. Then just the insane. Like more, less insane, retarded people that would go to psychologists a lot. So that's sort of just describing. And then there's the dumbasses, right? Who just aren't smart. Like, no offense to them. Like they're all right people. Like they don't cause issue. They kind of do cause a lot of problems, but they're not. You could go on a camping trip with them, and they wouldn't be all these problems. And then you got just an average Joe is totally fine, and then you got someone who's really smart switched on. So, example of that person who's just sort of like a dumbass. who's not evil or anything, would be, who's that guy from the project called Waleed? I think his name is Waleed. So he thinks he's really smart and knows about a lot of things, but he's not. And his opinions just confuse people and cause problems. And he's not even doing it intentionally. He's just a dumbass. Like that, I'm going to say it is a dumbass. I don't care if this offends him. I think he should try and think with it and try and at least look into some of the points I'm saying. But I saw him talking. I'll give you an example. Firstly, whenever I've heard him speak or anything, I never really thought, oh, this guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about, or this guy has some good information he's switched on. I just never get that idea, impression from him. I've never heard him speak and be like, oh, I really want to listen to what this guy says. I just think that he thinks that he's a lot smarter. And when I found out, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say. Well, I won't say that. I don't want to offend people, but like, anyway, he's more an academic type, you know what I mean? Anyway, I'd like to see him, you know, work on a building site and learn how to really live a life, you know, and travel around the world and stuff. Anyway, so he was talking about, there's only one thing I'll criticize on him on. He was talking about the Adam Goods incident that happened last year in the Australian Football League, where this Aboriginal football player got booed a lot at games. So he was talking about it, right? And this is where he thinks he's smart and he just opens up his mouth and blabs about things he doesn't even know about. And what he was saying was that that Adam Goods was getting booed because Australians and the football fans are racist, okay? And that's just not the truth. He's just out of touch with what the reality of the situation is. And he's a dumbass and he thinks he knows stuff, but he's wrong. This is the situation, right? Adam Goods, right? Firstly, he's a high-profile player, so he's like a famous AFL player. Because there's plenty of players that people wouldn't even recognise if they walk down the street, but he's one of them they'll recognise. Now, big-shot players are more likely to get booed. So that's the first point. That's a pure fact. Next thing is that he... apparently he was doing lots of things where he was trying to get free kicks and stuff. Like he was playing dodgy style of football and the fans were starting to get frustrated with him. You know what I mean? They were starting to think, oh, this guy's a wanker, right? Before they started the whole booing thing, people already started to build up a bit of a bad reputation for himself. And then on top of that, because there's plenty of people in the past who have been booed at games and that sort of stuff for doing similar stuff, like where you try and get dodgy free kicks. And, you know, if you play that style of football, people start knowing it. They start saying, oh, that player's dodging. People start booing him and stuff. So he was playing a dodgy brand of football. He's already skating on thin ice. And then, see, probably if he was a white dude, right, people probably would have booed him straight away, but maybe because he was such a high-profile Aboriginal guy, people restrained from their boos for a bit because they didn't want to be perceived as a racist. So maybe it built up a bit, you know. It's like reverse racism, trying to treat people extra nice, like what we do in Australia, and it's just like places like Australia Post will say we have to hire Aboriginals, and the Five Weavers say we have to hire Aboriginals. It's like literally reverse racism. It's giving them an extra chance, which in itself I think is racist because we're not treating everyone equal. We're saying your skin colour is different, so we're going to treat you better. I mean, that's just bullshit. That's just like, you know, that's not treating people the same. You know, that's racism. Anyway, see, Waleed would be listening to this and going, no, we don't do reverse racism. We treat foreigners bad. And it's just like, no, we don't, mate. Like, I've heard a lot of things, okay? I've seen a lot of things, and I'm telling you, places like Australia Post and the Fire Brigade are more likely to hire you if you're Aboriginal, okay? So, like, but this is where Wally just doesn't really know what he's talking about. He probably, I don't think he's that experienced, but he thinks he is. Anyway, okay, so then Adam Goods did this thing where he kicked a goal during a game or something, and then he ran towards the opposition crowd who were like, the opposition crowd always yells out offensive stuff or whatever. So maybe they just got his nerve a little bit that day in particular, But this is before the whole booing thing had started. Like, he wasn't getting booed and shit. But during this one, during this game, he could have kicked a goal, and an opposition team could have been like, boo, but for the rest, like, he wasn't this epidemic of booing that he got after this. It's probably just someone probably just booed or something amongst the opposition crowd after he kicked his goal. So then he ran towards them, right, and did, like, this threatening sort of gesture, and then, like, pretend to throw a spear or something. And it was, like, apparently some sort of Aboriginal war dance or something like that. And he ran towards him and was like, ah! And, like, and I don't know what language, if he was speaking, like, I don't know what language, he might have been speaking another language and saying, you know, fuck you in another language. But basically, it was a big fuck you to the opposition crowd, right? And when I saw it, I kind of laughed because I thought it was funny. And I found it really interesting how offended people got at him doing that. Like, literally, people got upset on the news, or like, Adam Goods does a blah, blah, blah to the crowd, and like, the crowd actually got upset by it. And I was just like, I just so wouldn't have cared, but the crowd were like, you're this Adam Goods guy doing this, blah, blah. Anyway, so we did that to the crowd, right? And then that started from there on. It was just, he just got booed for like every game. Because, you know, he was playing a wanky brand of football. He was already skating on thin ice, and then he comes out and does this thing to the crowd, and he's a high-profile player. And so then suddenly after that, whenever he got the ball, everyone was like, boo, boo Adam Goods, you know. And Waleed was saying, oh, no, it was because he was demonstrating his Aboriginal culture and people didn't like that. And it's just like, no, that was not it. Like, people didn't like that he was doing a threatening thing to them, yes, but it had nothing to do with Aboriginalness. And, you know, there's plenty of black players that nobody boos or picks on and stuff. It just wasn't racism. It was Adam Goodsism. It was that people thought he was a wanker and they booed him. It had nothing to do with his skin colour. And then this is how much of a wanker Adam Goods is. Like, you know, I respect the guy, obviously he's successful and that sort of stuff, but at the same level I think he's a bit of a wanker. And this is why. Because instead of just admitting that, you know, he backfired in his threatening thing to the crowd and that maybe he shouldn't have done it, and just hardening up and getting on with his game, he got upset and stopped playing football and claimed that that everyone was being racist. And it's just like, no, Adam, this is why you're such a wanker. Everyone's booing you because you're a wanker, not because you're black. And he tried to make out this was the whole black thing, and it just wasn't. It's just ridiculous. It's like when Obama got voted in as president or whatever, and people had a go at him that, and then Obama supporters were like, oh, it's because he's black, you're having a go at him. And it's just like, no, it's because I think he's a wanker. It's because we, like, disagree with his policies, and what he's doing is wrong. It has nothing to do with race. Wake up, idiot. So anyway, so Wally was like, you know, oh, it's racism what they're doing to Adam Goods. And just like, no. And Adam Goods is such a wanker that he thought that it was because of racism. He's such a wanker, he couldn't confront the fact that everyone was pissed off with him, because it pissed off with him, nothing to do with Aboriginals, pissed off with him. And then he tries to claim that it's just racism. And that made, you know, I think for a little bit it made people even boo even more when he came out and had a cry about it. And the majority of footy fans know why he got booed. And you just have to look at the evidence. And it has nothing to do with race. Like, he was just trying to, he's just a wanker and a dumbass. So Waleed and Adam Goods are put in a dumbass category of people. Like, they're still good people, but they're just dumbasses. And they think that it's racism, but it's just not. So after I saw that thing by Waleed, I was like, yeah, I knew it. I knew he was not that smart. And I, like, when I looked at that, I was like, yeah, see, he just dishes out his opinions on things when he's not even really aware of what's going on. And he said, you know, he goes, there are plenty of white football players that stuck up their rude finger to crowds and haven't been booed the way Adam Goods got booed. And it's like, yeah, because those players who did that aren't as much of a wanker as Adam Goods is. You know what I You know what I mean? Like, and he tried to, like, he just didn't know that much about it. So whenever I hear him talk about Iraq or his other issues, he acts like he's just such top shit. And, well, I don't care speaking about this about him because I doubt anyone's even listening to it. And you know what? If he's listening to it or anyone does come across it in the future or whatever, it's just like, you know, this is my opinions. I'm standing by him. I do think he's a wanker and a dumbass. And that's it. And I've been a wanker and a dumbass myself in the past before. Don't take offense to it. Just accept the criticism and move on. And it's not like this is going out to everyone. Like, barely anyone listens to this. Like, it would be pretty mean if I just said it out, like, if I was famous enough to say it out to everyone and then cause a lot of problems for him. That's pretty rude and that sort of stuff. I wouldn't do that. But in this sort of podcast, it's sort of private. You just hear it how it is. I'm not going to bullshit, you know. And so, you know, yeah, I think Wally's a bit of an idiot. And so when I'd seen him on different things, I just never thought, oh, this guy sounds smart or anything like that. I kind of always thought, oh, this guy's wanky and opinionated and thinks he knows about things. And so when I saw the Adam Goods thing, I was like, yeah, I am right. He really is like that. But he kind of acts like, on the TV show The Project, which talks about news and current affairs and stuff, he acts like the expert in the group and just tries to act totally awesome and just, like, thinks he's just perfect and stuff and says his opinions and that. And it's just like, I just don't like his input into things, and I just don't even think he should be on the show. I think he's horrible and totally ruins the whole show. I think The Project can be a great news show, but I think he totally ruins it. It really has great potential. What I think they need to do is they need to get rid of Waleed and just have some better and more intelligent, opinionated people. And then make the news stories be a little bit less propaganda and just better news. And then start up a whole new TV show called something else that's full of just comedians talking about the news and really silly news and just nothing serious, nothing never negative. Even if there's terrorist attacks, like, well, if there's a terrorist attack, then make a joke about it, like a good joke, you know? And it would totally be inappropriate because it would be too soon after the terrorist attack. But have a whole, because I noticed when I saw the project, I was like, oh, this is a brilliant idea. Because the project advertised itself as news presented differently, and it definitely is. But it's awesome when it's really happy and just a lot of comedy and idiots like Waleed aren't talking on it. So, yeah, they need to set up a whole new show. Maybe I might do it one day, really cool, like positive news. It's good. Yeah, like funny news. We'll just call it that, funny news. And it's just like you get to watch the news of the day, and it is legitimately news, but it isn't negative news. Because whenever you switch on news channels, it's just like news is just associated with negativeness and badness, and it's just like you can report on good stuff. There's heaps of good stuff, like a nana made cupcakes in the suburbs or something like that. There's all these nice stories you can have. So have all these nice stories and have all these comedians talk about it and crack all these jokes throughout it. And the show will be great. Anyway. So that was me whinging about Waleed. But but yeah, and the next thing I'm going to go into, and I talk about this fair bit all the time, it's just like, obviously I haven't gone bored enough of it. It's the same, but I haven't really said it in these exact words, but the media is just so left-wing. It's so hippie-ish. It's so promoting big government, and it's so, just so left-wing. So, like, greeny and environmentalist, and, like, the media is really like that. It's so not, you get, they always throw in a few of the occasional strong right-wingers who are, I'm not even right-wing, I'm way further than the right-wing, I'm libertarian, which is like, right-wingers are supposed to be libertarians, but they're just confused, and left-wingers, everyone's supposed to be libertarian, but they're just confused, but left-wingers are just like, left-wingers are supposed to be communists, but they don't even know that they're communists. They don't understand that they're just totally for government being in control of everything, and they don't understand about freedoms and how things should just be less restrictive and things will be better. They're very much for big government and stuff. They're literally lower left-wing. I mean, some of the left-wingers are completely... the strong left-wing is literally socialistic and admit it so. But a lot of people are left-wing and they don't even know it, and they don't even know that they're communists, that they support communism. I'll give you an example, right? Milton Friedman, who's a really smart economist, I think his name is, he was talking to some like young hippie uni student that was typically left-wing and didn't even really know he was left-wing. And the hippie student was saying, yeah, we should tax the rich more and give it to the poor. And Milton Friedman was saying, that's just communistic and socialistic. That's communism. Because it's a big government controlling people, telling them what to do, saying, you can't have your money, we've got to take it and give it to the poor people. That's what that is. That's strong left-wing, that's socialistic. And the guy was saying, it's not socialistic. We're still having capitalism stuff. It's just distributing money equally. And it's just like, no, that's socialistic. That's communism. That's just like, you go, and Milton Friedman was saying, no, you don't understand how the economy works. And it's true. People don't know what these terms mean, you know. And I heard, and someone like Waleed, has an idea, but he doesn't really actually know what these things mean. Like, if he actually sat down and laid down what libertarian was and right-wing and left-wing, he would have a bit of an idea. And so when he talks to people and when he's on the project and that, he kind of sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He has some truth in this thing, but ultimately he doesn't actually really get what these ideas are. He doesn't really get what's going on there. And so he's just kind of wrong with a lot of it. But he sounds like he's right, and he thinks he's right, but he thinks he knows, but he doesn't even know. That's why he's such a dumbass. That's the definition of people who are dumb. That's what makes you dumb, by the way. Dictionary definition, you think you know something, but you don't. That is what dumb is. See, dumb isn't just not knowing something. Like, I don't know about panthers. I don't know about fishing. And if I went to go fish and I had problems, you wouldn't say I'm dumb. You say he doesn't know what fishing is, and fishing. But when you go fishing and you think you know and you fuck up and you go, this guy's a real dumbass. So when you think you know about something, you don't. And that's why, to me, Waleed is way dumber than anyone else that's on the project. Because he thinks he knows, but he doesn't. That is the superior sign of just pure stupidity. You know what I mean? Like, Peter Hellyer doesn't know about these things that they talk about. So he just shuts up and makes good jokes and is great. And he might have an idea, but he just doesn't, and he might voice it, but he won't say, you know, I'm right, I definitely know. Because he doesn't really know. Because Peter Hellyer is smart enough to know that he doesn't know. But Waleed is dumb and thinks he knows shit, and he doesn't know it. That's what makes him dumb. This is totally bagging out Waleed. But gosh, hate for this to bite me in the ass one day, but sorry, I mean, I just gotta, you know, but hold on, this is, here, Wally, look, this is like where, I used to be as dumb as you, I understand, like, not as dumb, sorry, I'll take that back, but I understand how you're dumb, most people are. Like, not only is there so much information in this society hidden, the education system is just terrible and just brings up these really dumbass people. So that's why when this Milton Friedman guy was talking to some left-wing guy, I didn't even know he was left, like a socialistic guy, I didn't even know he was socialistic. And then, like, Milton Friedman saying, that's communist, and he's going, no, it's not. It's just like, because that dude, that dumbass university student dude in this documentary that I saw, it's just been brought up in the school system and they're just, they've not taught him shit, and he's a dumbass, and he thinks he knows stuff, but he doesn't. That's how dumb he is. It's not necessarily his fault. He just has to put in the effort to try and find out the truth about things before he opens his mouth. And that was why I was so quiet for the first 22 years of my life or whatever, because I just didn't know enough to open up my mouth. Because I don't think you should talk about shit until you're certain about it. All the stuff I talk about on this podcast, I'm certain about them. I didn't just come to just believe that there's some sort of a God just because I was told it, or just because I had some idea or something. Like, you know, I don't know about my gob about things, or my gob about things until it's definite, you know, until it's like, this is something I've researched and I've, here's my findings on it, you know. So, I don't know what I was talking about. Oh, well, we're at 50-minute mark, so it looks like I'm going to have to go to an hour now. Do you know what, I'll make a rule. I'll say if it's... Yeah, I reckon if it's not done by the 40-minute mark, then I have to go to an hour and not do half an hour. There's sometimes I just get into things, but... So, yeah, so I was saying how the media's left-wing. And they've pumped out so much left-wing information for so long that people are brought up and they don't even know that they're left. They'll have ideas about things and they won't even know, the average person won't even know that they're left-wing or that those ideas are socialistic. The average person has no idea what's going on and how the government works, and I don't blame them. I've had to study a lot. I've had to look up in dictionaries what word government means. I have to look up in dictionaries what word, like, right-wing means. I have to look up in dictionaries what word libertarian means. All these sort of things. I remember I spoke to someone, right, who'd studied... See, the university systems are just terrible. They just fill up people with a little bit of information and then a lot of bullshit, and then the person doesn't even understand it, and they come out of it thinking that they know kind of what's going on, and then some people come out of it just completely quiet because they know that they don't know what's going on. The universities are terrible. Anyway, Wally... I imagine has studied at university, very much seems like the university type, you know what I mean? And it's just like, if you lived in the real world, you know, and got educated out there, like what I've done, not just in some freaking old building with books and shit, and bad books, you know? I mean, university is just a joke, like, really. Like, you go there, and they say, they give you all this stuff to read that has all these fancy words in it, you don't know what they mean. And just idiot, like, people who are just dribbling crap. And, like, it's just, like, you're better off not reading at all. And they just tell you to read it really quickly. And you just quickly try and cram it and try and pass a test. And it's just, like, it doesn't... It's not education institutions. It's just silly. It's just papers, places where you attend and you get a piece of paper at the end of it. I was onto the university system and how it's dodgy back when I was, like, 19 because I... Firstly, I heard of how, like, psychologists work and stuff. And I was like, if they're going to sit down and give people advice about their life and stuff, they have to be damn smart, man. They have to travel the world. They have to be 60 years old. They have to be really wise and just know all this stuff about life. I was like, they can't just study for 3 years in a freaking university and then actually think that they can give people advice. And I was like, look at these fucking people. Like, I think I looked at, like, a teacher at school and I was just like, look at this person. She doesn't really know much. Like, I don't think she could say much or give me good advice. And then she's just going to go and just because she got a piece of paper in university and tell people... advice in a psychology session or some shit. It's just like, I don't think that's right, you know. So I kind of thought university was a bit of a wank with that. And then... then I went to... No. Well, I went to uni for a month and I was just like, this is just ridiculous. I was just like, nah, I don't want more of this. Like, if you go into uni to learn some things, I think... it can be good, you know what I mean? But like I don't know, maybe architecture or something like that, really specific, but I just knew that some things were just like a total wank and were just like, they just throw all this information at you and you just do some crappy test and you just forget it all and then that's it. I'll give you an example, right? I studied 13 years of the school system. At the end of it, my IQ was just average, tiny bit above average. I spent 7 years outside the school system living life and travelling and learning my own way and figuring things out, and my IQ shot up to the genius category. I'm not joking, it's a pure fact. Someone would listen to this and be going, I was told by a psychologist in a university your IQ can't increase, you're just born it and it stays a certain way. And then I'll say to that, that's bullshit, and that's what I'm talking about when university is just wrong. It's just not true. That's the lie. Can increase your IQ. Anyway, So that's what I'm talking about, where living your life actually increases your IQ. Not just going to a building and all that stuff, crap I did in high school, just didn't get much benefit from it, and you just forget it all anyway. I mean, who the hell remembers what they did in high school? Everyone just forgets it because a lot of it's just wanky crap. That's why I like economics a lot, actually. Economics and history is good. Because you get ideas and you get, like, things you can actually take on for the rest of your life. Like, for example, right, you learn economics that how we're all connected, and the more money people have, the better things are. So people can pay for more things and buy better things, and then they buy stuff and that gives you a job, and you know what I mean? Everything's connected. Like if Jobo down the street have a lot of money, then he hires you to fix his house and it's better for you. So you want everyone to be doing well and be rich. It all flows and works together because they're all in this together. Because that's something you learn in economics. And that's why, and the best thing about economics is, the teacher I had was just a good teacher, and he would just sit down and talk a lot. It wasn't just crappy things of writing things down and doing formulas and all this bullshit. It was just like people talking. You know what I mean? Like actually learning shit and hearing stories and people saying their thingos about this and that. And it was just like, it's actually interesting, you know, actually learn stuff. Anyway, so there was that. And then, no, there's one other thing as well. So after I finished year 12 and I was thinking of going to university, I spoke to like, I don't know, a second cousin or something like that. And he was about 10 years older than me. And so he'd already been through the whole system. And he'd gotten a job, which was some sort of finance thing. And it was in the direction I was leaning towards, because I was good in economics. And I was thinking of doing an economics degree or something like that. See, the degree I kind of recommend is economics. Because economics is just awesome. Like, it just explains to you how life works and you can run a business. And it's very common sense-y. Anyway, And he said to me how he got a job, and I was trying to say, so what did you learn this course? Because I was trying to find out what he said, economics, and I wanted to find out what's the deal with this economics course, you know, because I mean, I'm thinking about doing it. What do you learn in it? What do you get from it? How do you use this in your job? And at the end of the day, right, it basically ended up, by me asking these questions, basically ended up finding out that he just got hired for his job because he had a piece of paper. And it seemed like he didn't really learn anything with a university degree, and he just learnt his job by doing the job, which makes sense, which a lot of the jobs are like. You just learn them by doing. You don't need to study. Like, I learned how to do a lot of filming stuff, working on the kink and that. I need to study that at university. I learn it by just doing it. You know, just throw me in a job and I'll just learn it, you know? Like, apprenticeships are the way to go, you know? Hands-on, you know. Anyway, so I was like, what the hell? Like, when I found out that, I was like, what the hell, you know? I was like, I don't know if I want to study at university or do this thing. I mean, it just sounded like a real wank. And it was just like, he doesn't even use what he was learning at university for his job or whatever. Or, like, don't even think you learn anything at uni. It's just like, they just go, oh, you got this piece of paper. So you're not going to hire someone who's working on a building site to work in some economic department, unless that person shows real talent. But they're going to hire someone who said they did an economics degree because it's kind of in that same area, but they're still going to learn on the job anyway. You know what I mean? Whatever they did in that degree, it'll only be a tiny bit that will kind of actually help them in the job, but it's better than someone who's just doing bricklaying. It's just, it's so irrelevant, you know? But technically, they could just do that, just take on anyone who does bricklaying and just work it out. And then, I was just like, I'll just do university. I'll do arts for like a year at university and just see what it's like. And I got about a month into it and I was just like, nah, this is just so wanky. And just reading, like, I'm into films and that sort of stuff. And they get you to read these analysis of films like Wizard of Oz and just these wanky discussions of like what the movie's about and the characters and just like these critiques, and it's just a fucking joke, you know what I mean? It's just like, if you're going to study film, I reckon just get them to watch a lot of great, like a lot of genres of films, and then just get them to make a film, and at the end of it, they're just like, they have an idea how to make films, you know? Or just teaching them sort of the different styles, just make it a lot like 25% theory and 75% practical, not 75% theory, 25% practical. And this is where it's just like, you just don't need to have uni to learn all these things. Like, I could learn all this shit by myself. I just wouldn't want to go. I just knew university was a total wank. And then as I grew more and studied more and more things, then I had specific reasons to say why it's a wank. Why it's just freaking ridiculous. And it's just like these academics who just are making themselves a job and are just like, yeah, you need to have teachers. And just like, no, you don't. And then I worked with someone on film who like would be, was trained up through the academic system. And I could see how it just like taught him in a retarded way. You know, I mean, I sound negative on this. Sound pretty negative. I guess I'm kind of negative on this podcast now, but I do use it as my chance to, you know, talk about things that are dodgy. So, you know, get my emotions off on certain things. But, like, it would be cool if I could just talk about good stuff the whole time, but when it comes to ranting, and this is me ranting, by the way, this is the new Andy. The rant is so casual, but just, like, mild to complaining about things. The hour's up, by the way, I'm going to wrap it up real soon. And so, you know, notice this guy and some of the things he was doing, and it was just like, I learned this in film school. It was just like, wow, it's fucking, how about you learn something in practical school? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, what the fuck? It's just silly. And I think it is teaching. I know it's because I remember I was hanging out with somebody who's one of these academic types who'd just done like 2 degrees at university and just totally been through the school system and is doing like tutoring. And so he's just totally an academic type. And he was doing tutoring for singing as well. He was doing tutoring for some subjects and then also singing. And it's just like, he had this idea that was interesting. It was just like he made out that you can't just learn singing. Like, you have to be taught it. You can't just teach yourself it. You know what I mean? That's what they have, these academic types. It's just like you have to go to university. You have to get formal. There's right ways of doing things that are wrong, and you have to go through this system. And it's just like a lot of the times, it's just like, no, you don't have to go to film school. No, you don't have to go to singing school. You can just teach yourself. You know what I mean? And I recommend people to teach themselves. I recommend they'll be, at the end of the day, they'll be a better singer than going to some singing teacher that would make him do something, and it's just wanky and just like, because I think what I observed in his singing teacher, observed that he wasn't even any good at singing, and then he would begin to do exercises and stuff, and I was just like, and he seems like he knows what he's talking about, like Waleed and stuff. He seems like, when somebody doesn't know about singing, he seems like he's smart, he's switched on, and actually his singing teaching is shit. See, this is the thing. Yeah, I do agree. You can do courses on how to sing or how to film, that sort of stuff. If they were good, you know what I mean? If they're good, then they're worthwhile, you know, they're worthwhile doing. But if they're good, then I bet you that they'll only be like 1 year long. They'll be really simple, really short, and they'll just be like I could come up with a great film course, for example, but a lot of them are just crappy, you know? And I'll make it where it's heaps of practical and a whole less theory. But the thing is, the way they are now, it's just like, don't even bother. Just, you're better off teaching yourself. At the end of the day, you'll be better. You'll be more switched on. You'll learn a lot more from teaching yourselves. It's all within you. You're powerful and you can learn yourself. You don't have to be taught how to do all these things. Someone came up to me, because I can sing, and someone comes up to me and goes, you know, can you teach me how to sing? I'll just be like, yeah, do this. And it would kind of be on the line of, like, teach yourself how to do it. And in the end, they'll be able to sing, you know? I would be like, oh, I don't know what to do in that. And I would say, look, this is what I would say, seriously, for someone who wants to learn how to sing. I would say, first thing is, if you're a guy or a girl, if you're a girl, then do the high-pitched songs. If you're a guy, do the more low-pitched songs. And listen to them with your headphones and just try and hum along to them. So if there's songs like, it, you know, that song by No Doubt, that's a cover that goes, "It's funny how I found myself in love with you." So you'd listen to it on your, you know, "It's my life, don't you forget," that's the one, whatever. So listen to it on your iPod and just go, for ages, and heaps of different songs, but as long as they're in your sort of tone of voice, you can sing in, pitch of voice, do that, and for ages, and then eventually start opening up your mouth and actually singing the words instead of going, go, "It's my life, don't you forget," or whatever, and then just try and impersonate the person, try and sound exactly like the person you're singing it, and then the next minute you'll find, if you just do that for a long enough time while you're driving your car, and every day if you set aside to practice, you'll find like a Kurt Cobain song will come on, and you'll actually sound like the tone of Kurt Cobain, like you'll be able to impersonate it, and you'll be like, "Come as you are, as you were, as I want you to be," and like you'd actually be like, "Wow, I can actually start to sing," and then you'll be able to rock up to a karaoke and you'll actually be able to kind of sing, you know, and then that'll save them all money on lessons, and it'll save effort on having to travel, and it's a way funner thing to learn. But if you go to some wanky person who thinks they know how to teach singing, but they don't, and they can't even sing themselves, they sing horrible themselves, they'll go like this, ooh, ee, ah, ooh, ooh, go, and they'll just make up all these complex lessons and shit, and it's just like, I don't deny that there's some value in those sort of things, but they're like for like expert singers that are really high up and they've already learned how to sing, and then they're looking to make the singing even better. And so they give a beginner all this ooh, ooh, yeah, ooh, with this fancy retarded shit. And they'll go, "Come to me every one day every week and pay me money." And like they'll bamboozle with them with these English, with these singing words, singing terms and words and stuff. And they just fuck it up. And it's just like, what the fuck? So you can come up with good courses that are worthwhile going to. Anyway, I've got to wrap this up. I'm still going. I can't believe it. Jesus Christ. Whoa, it's late. It's sort of the start of summertime in Australia now, and it's really nice because it's humid, and it's but not like 30 degree humid. It's like 24 degree humid, so it's just like, which is just perfect. I love it. I love probably 25 degrees and humid because it's just warm and a little bit sticky, a little bit humid, a little bit moist. Okay. But it's really nice because Melbourne, you know, when Melbourne's not usually humid, it's like kind of a deserty where it gets like dry and then hot during the daytime and harsh hot during the daytime, and then evening it gets cold. Like it's summertime and evening gets coldish. It's just retarded. But when the humid weather comes in, it's just nice and sort of humid and a bit sticky, and like it's really good. But when it's 30 degrees, it's bad. Like, some of those tropical places are almost too hot, like I think they're like 30 degrees and that. But when they're like 24, it's just like, oh, it's so nice. It's just perfect. You can have doors open, windows, and you just have a little fan going with a bit of breeze. And it's just like, I want that to be the weather permanently, you know? The only thing sad about it is you kind of don't get to wear cool jackets when it's cold in the wintertime. That's the only thing good for fashion reasons. It's winter. You have to just wear cool puffy jackets and stuff. I fucking, yeah, I remember being in Bali once, and this yoga instructor was talking about Canada, and she's just like, "If you're from one of these cold areas, just move to Bali. Why the hell are they staying in these cold areas?" And it's just like, I really understand that, you know what I mean? It's just like, you just get your life set up in a certain area, and you're just like, well, I can't leave now. And you're just too set up there. But it's just like, there's so many better places with just way better weather. And, Southern Queensland's really nice in Australia. I reckon that's great, where it's just like, yeah, it's 25 and humid a lot of the time. It's just fantastic. Anyway, wow, that's it for me. Just did way more than what I was planning on doing as per usual. I talked about a few things. Absolutely bagged out Wally completely. Sorry about that, Wally, but, you know, I'm not going to lie. That's what you get with me. You just get honesty, you know? The No Bull Podcast. That's maybe this has nothing to do with the King TV show, so I should just call it the Noble podcast or something like that, and Fair Dinkum podcast. I think there was a podcast called Fair Dinkum. Stupid retarded saying Fair Dinkum. Anyway, the next few King episodes are going to be bigger. They're going to be the last for the 2015. And the last one's going to be a Christmas special with Warwick Kappa, huge Australian B-grade celebrity. Great top bloke, funny ass guy. He's a comedian as well. He's done a lot of jobs, but the first thing we got famous for was his football playing. And Josh Wade is going to be in as well, who's a good young comedian, like a YouTuber guy, and he's an interesting fella, and so he's going to be in an episode. So it's just like two of the biggest guests I've probably ever had on The Kink are going to be on in the Christmas special. So it's a great way to finish off the year, and it's fantastic news. The Kink's going to be on air in all of 2016, which is just amazing, because Channel 31 was going to get cancelled in 2016, just be on the internet, and the government, thank God, just out of nowhere, just in the last few months, just granted another year, which is just out of bizarre. And it was exactly what the show needed, because I was freaking out. I was like, well, what the hell is going to happen with The King? I'm going to have to try and get it onto SBS or some other network. And, you know, I obviously want it to go on prime time and be pretty big, but want to reach as many people as possible. Like maybe Comedy Central would be a great place to have it. But I don't think it was quite ready for that. And it just needed a bit more time to build up more fans and that sort of stuff. And so, because I really think it's only been rocking it for like the past 6 months. It's been great for the past 6 months. But you need more time of being great. Really need a bit long time to build up fan base and that sort of stuff. Everyone remembers it as a late on a Friday night, funky show. So it was just amazing for it to be granted into 2016. It was just like, what the hell? This came out of nowhere. I'd really given up hope. Like, I really thought in November, I was just like, nah. It looks like all the evidence was indicating it was not going to go into 2016. It just did out of nowhere. And it was just so badly what... It might go into 2017 now that we have an extra year to work on it and to protest and stuff. But it's into 2016, which is just awesome. Absolutely awesome. And Channel 31 didn't even have a Christmas party, and they didn't have the Antenna Awards, which is like a big awards night for the shows that they've got. They didn't even have it this year because just everyone had just given up. Like people who quit and that sort of stuff, and shows had even stopped running and stuff. So like, and I just stuck with it and stuff. And I was going to be the last person on the sinking boat, you know what I mean? The last rat on the boat. Last rat on the Titanic, and then suddenly the boat's just been inflated up and lifted up, and suddenly it's like, wow, this boat's going to stay afloat for another year, and then we'll see what happens. But it was exactly what the show needed, because I felt like it had just gotten right recently, and it's a shame to just have it right for like three shows and then just the end, and be like, great, I only got it right for three shows, but now it's like it can run a whole year of it. Right, anyway, this is ridiculous going on. Anyway, so we had to bag out Waleed and talk about how the media is very left-wing and they don't even know it, and just was quite negative and just ripped into a lot of things and went for way too long, as an hour and 30 minutes. Anyway, that's it for me. Eddie Nolch, the Space Cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. Now!